So I'd like to begin by thanking you all for giving Lisa, myself and the boys such a great welcome as we moved to Suffolk last year to begin our ministry of serving St John's and the people of Elmswell. As you know, we moved in the middle of the summer last year. We spent a few weeks settling in and taking some holiday before beginning our ministry on the 11th of September. I want to say such a big thank you to all those who worked so hard during the interregnum. And particularly I must thank the wardens, John and Graham, who did such a great job of keeping the show on the road. And it was all sorts of things that they did, from helping couples wanting to get married here at St John's, dealing with baptism requests, of course organising clergy to come and lead and preach at services, not to mention their involvement in the process of finding a new rector. John and Graham were such a great support to us as we planned our move to Elmswell and as we settled in. And we really cannot thank you both enough for all that you did for us. John has also asked me to mention the great support that he and Graham received from the PCC and how everybody here pulled together during the interregnum. I'd like to thank the local clergy who supported us in coming to preach and lead at St John's. Nick Cutler, Richard Webb, amongst others. But of course, John Pearce is a dear man in all of our hearts, who regularly came over from Bury St Edmunds. A great friend to us all here at St John's. Two other people that I want to mention by name are Jean and Derek Folkard. Jean as PCC secretary and multiple other hats, ranging orders of services, finding people to read the Bible, pray, printing notice sheets. Both of them I always see working hard away behind the scenes. Thank you very much. There are so many, many other people to thank for everything that happened last year. I'm sorry, I know I'll miss somebody out. We're blessed to have so many very committed and hard-working people here. So I'd like to thank our musicians, our organists, of course the choir in leading us in our sung worship each week. I'd like to thank all those who make the church look so beautiful, who arrange the lovely flowers, for those who clean the church, for those who sit on Deanery Synod, those who sit on the PCC, those who run the children's groups, those who run Cypher. There's small groups we've just heard about, Mum's the Word, ladies' lunches, of course, men's breakfast. I've gone through that so quickly because we've heard a lot of reports already, but thank you, and I know I'll have missed some people out. A special thank you to everyone who worked so hard to make sure that the summer and Christmas fairs went so well, despite blustery conditions in the summer. Well done. These fairs really help us to get out there connecting with the local community. Holiday Club continues to thrive, and I'm looking forward to being part of it this year. The choir did a wonderful concert in the autumn, and Alistair Blay also did a concert. We've had all those special services, Mothering Sunday, Harvest, Remembrance Sunday, Christingle, traditional carol service, for the first time a children's carol service, CMS Sunday, and so on. I could go on running through in detail what happened last year. An amazing amount happened, despite us being in interregnum for most of it. What I want to do is to first bring up the slide that should have been showing all the way through that, which says thank you. What I want to do is share with you some observations that I've been making over the last 8 months or so since I've been in post. So what have I observed? Well, I've already mentioned the great welcome we received. And of course, this is a wonderfully welcoming church here. The friendliness shown to newcomers and visitors is wonderful to see. And at my induction, my friends from Tunbridge did comment on just how friendly this church was and how welcome they were made to feel. But all people, I think, who come into St John's feel very welcome. No one who comes into St John's is left to feel lonely or unloved. Instead, they're made to feel at home. And I think that is a great Christian witness. John Pearce said to me that this is a truly Christian place in the way that people are made to feel welcome. A similar observation is the concern for pastoral care that goes on here. You look out for one another. And not just one another, but people beyond the congregation. That also is great Christian witness. then of course there is a great tradition here of biblical preaching and teaching. And I'm proud to come to a place where that is the case. You know, we really have super talent here in all the different things that we do. But I've been, I've been impressed with a high standard of preaching. I've asked certain people in a congregation to preach, and I have been greatly impressed. It's unusual to find a church of this size to be gifted with so many good speakers. And I've been encouraged by the number of baptisms and just the number of people who often turn up to Remembrance Sunday. But in particular, we put on, it was Gavin's idea, and we put on a children's carol service for the first time, and over 100 people came in through the doors, which was just wonderful. There are many encouragements going on here. One area, however, where I think we're less strong is corporate prayer. Prayer is the powerhouse of the church. Prayer is when we give ourselves over to God. Without prayer, nothing will happen. Prayer is a sign of our dependence upon God and His Spirit. And unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. So prayer needs to become more central to our life as a church. I've started up a fortnightly prayer meeting on Saturday mornings, and it's a lovely time for us to gather together to support one another and bring the needs of the world and our ministry here before the Lord. A number of wonderful folk come to that prayer meeting, but the attendance is still relatively small. I would encourage more people to come. Saturdays, every other week, the details are normally on the notice sheet at 9 a.m. for half an hour, 45 minutes or so. Another interesting observation goes right back to my first PCC meeting here. I asked PCC members that if St John's was a car, what would it be? And the unanimous verdict is that we're like a Volvo. Sturdy and reliable, but unadventurous and overly cautious. I think that is an accurate description of what I can see. I've seen some of the difficulties people have had in just facing some minor changes I've brought in. There is perhaps a fear of change, but there's no need to be. Change is not something we need to be frightened about. We just need to try some new things out. If they work, fantastic, we will keep doing them. And if they don't, okay, we gave it a go, we'll put them to the side. I also think that we're too comfortable sitting in our Volvo. It's too easy to think, well, we're okay here in Elmswell. We're one parish with our very own rector, all to ourselves. I think many of us are unaware of the critical situation that the Church of England is in, both financially and spiritually. And maybe some of us are unaware of the practical need and also the biblical mandate for every member ministry. That's why I read that opening verses from the Bible, from John 12, where everybody has a part to play in the body. And I know lots of us are doing many things, but we really are to be a team ministry. I know some people have been surprised at my asking other people to be involved up at the front of the church, but that is actually what most Anglican churches do throughout the country, and I've never been in a church which hasn't had other people involved up at the front. It's working together as one body, which is what Christian ministry is all about. We're a team. So we're like a Volvo. At that first PCC meeting, though, somebody said, well, wouldn't it be much better if we were like a Land Rover instead, where we had to go off-road and be a bit more adventurous? I would like us to be a bit more like a Land Rover. A Land Rover is good. It's still very sturdy and it's reliable, but it is also adventurous. We need to have that sense of adventure if we're to grow here and extend Christ's kingdom. We have to have that passion to go off-road for the sake of Christ and his gospel. We need to remember that people are out there dying in their sin. And as we've heard, there is no other way but Christ. People need a saviour, the Lord Jesus, and they won't find him unless we go out in that spirit of adventure. Maybe to change my metaphor from a car to a bus. It's easy to think of life in the church as a bit of a bus ride. The rector's up there, at the front driving, and the passengers are being driven down the road to heaven. Perhaps that's how you feel ministry should be done at St. John's. Well, I am very sorry if that's how you think, because I am throwing away the keys to the bus. What we're doing is we're getting out of the bus and going on an adventure. We're all going to hike across country, supporting one another as we go, as we put our rucksacks on. I will be your guide, but we're all going to take part in this great adventure as we head to the heavenly city. And as we hike across the country, many of us are going to be going off the paths to gather up those sheep who have gone astray, to gather them back onto the path. So we're going to work together to build up the community of God's people here, and together we're going to support one another as we hike. And we all need to play a part in that. I believe that this is how Christ wants us to be as his body, working together with a deep passion for the gospel, a deep conviction of our own personal sin and our own personal need for a saviour, and a concern for those sheep out there who are wandering aimlessly off the path, those who need to be brought onto the path and to journey down the path with us. So that's one of my visions, and I share that picture with you. But I want to share a further picture as well. We've had the picture of the car, the Volvo changing into the Land Rover. We've had this picture of the bus, throwing away the keys and hiking across country in this thrilling adventure in the name of Christ. The third picture, and I've shared this with the PCC already, is the four streams. This is how I see our ministry operating here at St. John's. Four streams. The streams all run together, they flow concurrently, but they represent different parts of the work here. At the moment, we're particularly concentrating on the first two, although all four are indeed going on. But stream number one, this is all about how we can be built up in the faith as an existing congregation. So that's helping people who are already in the church to grow deeper in their faith. And we could perhaps use the word discipleship here, becoming better followers of Christ. So stream one obviously includes the preaching that is based on the Bible. God's word is the sword of the Spirit, and it's how he, the Spirit, transforms us to be more like Christ. Stream one also points us to our small groups, home groups, where we can delve more deeply into God's word. And I really do encourage you to think about being in one so that you can go deeper into your life with Christ and your adventure with him. But stream one also includes our prayer life. I've already said I'd love to see more people at our regular prayer meetings. But let's remember we also have a very successful prayer chain that has recently been started. So don't forget, if you ever feel the need for prayer for yourself or somebody you love, contact Lisa, who will distribute your request onto people willing to pray. And then there's the prayer ministry going on in the Gardiner Chapel now, following our main communion services. People are already finding that a great blessing, and this is a lovely place just to sit and be with the Lord. But after a communion service, if you want somebody to pray with you in confidence, well, head into the Gardiner Chapel, where a trusted person will pray with you in confidence. So stream one is all about going deeper in our faith, the life of discipleship. Stream two, and I'm also focusing quite a lot on this at the moment, it's all about our building. How can we best utilise this lovely building and improve it so we can do more effective Christian ministry? This stream points us to the work we've already done in the prayer chapel here. It includes the staging we want to erect here. Having a stage area here will mean that we can be more friendly with children as they come up to the front during church services or when the Little Elms or primary schools visit us. But it also improves visibility when we do concerts or weddings. It will enable me to lead services out the front rather than being hidden away. We're then improving our projection facilities, hoping to replace this screen with an electric one so it's more smooth and we don't have the white cord showing. Wanting to put a screen in the chancel so the choir can see some of the visuals we use in our services without feeling the need to be left out or having to come down here. And I'm delighted to see this screen here, and great thanks to the people who've kindly donated the television and the money for the stand. But Stream 2 is just about also a general lifting of the building. Graham is looking into replacing the curtains, and we've just had the carpets in the church room and on the balcony cleaned on Friday. That was a donation from somebody in the village who was just happy to do it for us. Again, thanks to Graham and Peter Goodchild's family for improving the church driveway. All of this is coming from a desire to make the building as accessible, as friendly and as atmospheric as possible, respecting its historic nature but improving its effectiveness for ministry in the 21st century. Streams 3 and 4 are about our witness, our evangelism, our outreach to the community. Stage 3 is about hospitality, inviting people in the community just to come and be with us. So we do a great summer fair and Christmas fair each year. I'm really proud of all that goes on there. But I want people to really see St John's as a place of hospitality. Sometimes I know we're concerned about raising funds, and that is right, we have to raise funds. But I want some of our events simply to say, look, just come and be with us. Get to know us. And as people get to know us, they'll see that Christians aren't strange and peculiar people. Well, not all of us anyway. It's all about building friendships. And then when the time is right, we gently share the love of Christ with them. And if you think of it, we can all be involved in Stream 3. It's the easiest thing in the world to invite somebody along to coffee break, or men's breakfast, ladies' lunch, a church barbecue, or a concert. While we're on Stream 3, one of the things I'd like to see us do either this Christmas or the following Christmas is something called Experience Christmas, which will involve transforming this church into 6 stations around it, each telling part of the Christmas story. And I'd love all of the primary school children to come in and experience Christmas in that way. We will need volunteers to artistically create the stations, volunteers to help us take groups of children round. Experience Christmas has been used in many churches around the country to very great effect. I'd love to see that happen here. Another initiative is the Light Up a Life service, which will take place in the autumn. That's an opportunity for anybody who is bereaved to come to a simple service where they can remember their loved one and light a candle for them. There's lots more things we can be doing in Stream 3. These are just a couple of things to flag up for now. But do share your ideas as to how we can show hospitality to our community by inviting them to come and be with us. And Stream 4 is even more adventurous. We're not focusing too much on this now, because we're spending a lot of time on Streams 1 and 2. Stream 4 is where we go out of our comfort zone, away from our building, into the community to share the love of Christ. We are already doing that with things like Holiday Club. I'm just delighted with the success of Holiday Club. Also, school assemblies. But I think we can be doing even more inventive ways of going out with the good news over the years to come. So that's looking down a little bit further, although still going on at the moment. These 4 streams are what I have in my mind as I see us going forward at St John's. Stream 1, going deeper in our faith. Stream 2, how we use our physical asset, the building. Stream 3, hospitality, inviting people to us. Stream 4, taking out the gospel into the community. I say all these streams flow together. But just at the moment, we're paying a bit more attention to the first 2. I'd like to close with an encouragement and a challenge. I think we can all be greatly encouraged by all that is going on here. From the new home group starting on Wednesday, to coffee break, to the men's breakfasts and ladies' lunch. They're all thriving. Brenda Begg and Linda Abbott have just spoken to me about organising a poppy festival in November to commemorate the First World War. We've got a confirmation service in 2 weeks with 6 members of our congregation being confirmed. That's wonderful news. We have a prayer chain prayer ministry that are proving effective. The summer fairs coming up. Numbers at services are very encouraging. Maundy Thursday, we had double our normal numbers for that service. So God is evidently at work here at St John's. Great encouragement. However, we do face a considerable financial challenge this year. And that brings me to why we have all received one of these Giving in Grace leaflets. You'll see that there is some forms that could be filled in on the back. And standing order forms are right at the back of church if you need one. Giving in grace. Not only do we need to raise finances for projects such as our staging, but our parish shares, we've heard, is going up by £4,000 this year, and we need to step up to that challenge. It's important to pay the parish share, otherwise churches like St John's won't be allocated clergy, as simple as that. Not only that, but the parish share goes to train new clergy, and we at St John's have seen our members benefiting. St John's recently sent out Toby to train for ordained ministry, and Miriam too will soon be training. There's a cost to that training. There's a cost for the central diocese too. The parish shares used to cover these costs. So please do think about your giving. If we all increased our giving by 10%, that would cover the shortfall. Another way of calculating, if we all increased our giving by just £5 a month, that would cover the shortfall. But some people might not be able to give as much as that, others may be able to give more. But please, go away prayerfully thinking about how much you can give. Go away with this sheet, Giving in Grace, and increase your giving if you possibly can. Or maybe you just haven't increased your giving for a few years, and inflation has caught up with us. If we haven't increased our giving for, say, 4 or 5 years, it might be right to increase our giving by 10% now. I say, if you need a standing order form, please do talk to Graham, or there are some just as we go out. Please do give generously so that we can pay our parish share and support the work of Christ that goes on here. But just also let me stress that I have no idea who gives what. The only person who knows what you give is the treasurer. Nobody else knows apart from you and the Lord. And Graham, of course, keeps all the information he has in strictest confidence. So there we have the financial challenge. But just to conclude, I am really excited to be here. I'm really excited to see that all that God is doing here. I'm really excited by all that God has in store for us over the coming years. I look forward to working with you all to extend Christ's kingdom here.